praising the Lord, very thankful that I found the box that had my socks in it, and I found the box that had coffee, and so I'm thankful, very thankful. And I have a lot to be thankful for above and beyond that, but the Lord is so gracious to us, you know, over and over again, and we just praise His name for that. One of the things I wasn't able to find and hook up was my printer, so bear with me here today, and hopefully I won't be too distracting. You know, our lives are filled with times like that, though, aren't they? Mountaintops and then valleys, and it's kind of interesting how quickly we can go from a mountaintop to a valley, you know, and then how does it affect us? It seems like oftentimes we need the Lord, whether we realize it or not, we need the Lord more when we're in the mountaintop, I think. Because we can easily stray. But of course, in the valleys, when we're really struggling, we can become anxious and doubt and fear and maybe even a little frustrated with God. So we need Him there. The fact of the matter is we need Him every day, all the time, right? Life can be hard at times. And, you know, our parents have tried so hard to prepare us for life, right? They work hard and prepare us for life's ups and downs, and hopefully they're teaching us the Word, and they're living out the testimony of Jesus Christ before us, and they strive to teach us some of these foundational core principles of life, and here's some that our parents try to teach us to prepare us for life. One is they try and teach us about foresight, right? And they say things to us like, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. So thinking ahead. They teach us foundational things like logic, right? If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. They teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Things about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet, right? They teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up now, I'm going to knock you into next week, right? They teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. About contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? They teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of broccoli. They teach us about genetics. Oh, you're just like your father, right? They teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And then they teach us about the cycle of life, right? I brought you into this world, and I can take you out, right? Well, the reality is life gets pretty complicated, and there are these ups and downs, these mountains and these valleys, and sometimes it can get so frustrating, hard to understand, but we all have these mountaintops, these valleys that we struggle in, and so I want you to be thinking about that for a moment. You know, what are your, if you look back at your life, what are some of the peaks? What are some of the mountaintop experiences that you just felt so blessed and filled with the hope of the Lord and just things are going so well? You can think back in your life some of those times. But also think about some of the lows, some of the valleys, and what happened in your life, and maybe kind of how you struggled through that. Some of you are probably familiar with this story, but I want to read it to you again. It's about one of our hymns, the origin of this hymn. This is Mr. Horatio G. Spofford. I'll just read this story. He was a successful lawyer in Chicago, a member of the Fullerton Avenue church in that city. In the financial crisis of 1873, he lost most of his property. In the stress and strain of the times, he prevailed on his wife and four daughters to take a trip to France to get away, far away from the scene of worry as possible. He booked a passage for them on the Ville-Hévard. They set sail on November 15th. 1873. The trip, for the most part, seemed uneventful, and its hundreds of passengers were enjoying this incredible uplift in the view and the ocean voyage, that is, until the night of November 22nd. Shortly after midnight, the Loch Earn, bound for New York, collided with the Ville-Hévard. In a few minutes, the French ocean liner sank beneath the waves. The Loch Earn, which was not damaged by the collision, began to try and rescue as many survivors as they possibly could find. Of the 226 passengers on the Loch Earn, only 87 survived. Mrs. Spofford was one of those that survived, but her four daughters perished. As soon as Mrs. Spofford reached land, she telegraphed to from France to her husband, and her telegraph said this: "Saved alone, children lost, what shall I do?" Can you imagine? What shall I do? The Chicago attorney that got this message, her husband, left immediately to join his wife and bring her back to Chicago. It was in the depths of bereavement and agony that he wrote this hymn, his only, one and only hymn. And it is the hymn, as you may know, "It Is Well With My Soul." The grief of his terrible loss and the peace he experienced as he and his wife submitted their lives to God's providential dealings, he describes in the stanzas of this hymn, and I'll just remind you of those. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And the Lord haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Well, we have been on one of those mountaintop valley, nothing to this scale in any way, but we sold our home. And if you've sold homes, you know it can be just a crazy ordeal in a sense. And we got one offer, and we thought, oh, we're so excited, and then it fell through, and then we got another offer, and then this is great. And then they decided that our roof needed to be replaced, and so, you know, we waved goodbye to a lot of money to get that replaced. And so, you know, there's always ups and downs in these things. And then buying the new home, we're still kind of in the midst. The owner is gracious to let us move in a little bit early, but we're trying to finish up some of the last things to keep the lender happy so we can finalize that. So up and down, you know, that's the way those things go. That's life, right? But last night, my daughter Brianna and her husband Joe brought out this big crock pot of really good soup. And so we had soup, and we lit a fire in the wood stove, and we had soup, fire, and family. And it was a mountaintop. It was good. It was good stuff. Praise the Lord for that. The Bible calls David a man after his own heart. And David had a lot of ups and downs, you know, mountaintops and valleys. And some of David's issues, valleys, were due to his own sin, his own mistakes, his own poor choices, just like you and I. And then some of them were just out of his control. They were the result of other people's choices, other people's sins. And we're right there with him, right? But the reality is, I think we all know this at some level, but we still struggle. The reality is, we can't control the ups and downs, right? The mountaintops and the valleys, they just come over and over again. But through it all, indeed, we can absolutely trust God. And so we ought to be so very, very thankful for that. And in the end, as God helped David through these things, and we realize that he can do the very same for us, and he will reward us for our consistent faith and trust in him, even though at times it's very, very difficult. If we were to take David's life and kind of chart it out, put, you know, the peaks, he had some beautiful, wonderful peaks, and then we would chart some of the low spots. I mean, it truly was. It would just be a up and down and up and down and up and down. That's the life that David lived. And you might be saying, mm-hmm, me too, up and down, up and down. That's the life that a lot of us live. That's kind of the reality of life, isn't it? Of the more than 70 psalms that are attributed to David writing, at least 14 of them are connected with specific events in his life, and people that have studied those and tried to kind of map this out. And I have them, I think, in somewhat of a chronological order, but I want to just kind of share some of these with you, and you'll remember them, and then I want to kind of see how David responded, because that's the real issue, isn't it? Not that we're going to have the ups and downs. We're going to have the mountain peaks and the valleys. They're going to come. That's life. But how we respond, that is the issue. And so in 1 Samuel 19, I'm going to actually turn to Psalm 59. If you want to turn there with me, Psalm 59, and we'll read just a portion of that. But this is born out of Psalm 59. It's born out of 1 Samuel 19, where Saul sent men to kill David. Listen to David's kind of, I'll read just a little bit of it. This is verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Not for my transgression, nor my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Verse 16 says, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense. My God is of mercy. Amen. And then turn back a little bit to Psalm 34, and we would tie this in, it seems, to in 1 Samuel 21. Again, David's, you know, running from Saul. Saul is after him and wants to take him out, get rid of him, if you will. So this is parts of Psalm 34. David's response, I will bless the Lord, this is the important part, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Didn't take him out of the situation necessarily, but he can deliver you from all your fears. Amen. They looked to him, to our God, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. And then finally, towards the end, verse 17, he says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And finally, verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Amen? Amen. What a blessing. Then let's turn over to Psalm 56. Turn there with me. And this is tying in to being on the run again. But listen to, and in a sense, a lot of us are often on the run, aren't we? In different ways. But I think we're, you know, we're dodging things and trying to stay out of trouble. And sometimes it feels like we're on the run anyway. This is Psalm 56. David says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, For they are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do to me. And verse 8 says, you number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle, and are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back, for I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In God, in the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I love David. Love David. And then Psalm 142, we think maybe this would tie into David's, one of his times of hiding in a cave. Psalm 142, it maybe ties into this out of 1 Samuel 22, but this is Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With a voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is none who acknowledge me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I've been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, and you shall deal bountifully with me. Amen. Amen, David. Thank you, David. How about Psalm 52? Flip back again with me. This, we think, maybe ties in with Doeg murdering 85 priests, Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? Verse 5, God shall likewise destroy you forever. Verse 7, here is a man who did not make God his strength. Verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Amen. The Ziphites trying to betray him. This is Psalm 54. And David, see how he responds. He says, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of the trouble, and my eye has seen his desires upon my enemies. Psalm 57, and this may be tying back to a cave experience. Psalm 57 says, verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth. And then the last verse, 11, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. David, you know, though he struggles like you and I do, he always comes around. He always ends up in a place of praise, acknowledging. And he whines quite a bit, like some of you, like me. But, you know, he always comes around. He always acknowledges that, yes, God is good. Yes, God loves me. Yes, God saves. Yes, God is full of strength, power. He is sovereign over all. And so that's where we want to arrive always, even though it can be a struggle at times. Psalm 63, we think he's hiding in the Engedi wilderness at this point. This is Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because of your loving kindness, it's better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Amen. This is, we'll turn back to Psalm 18. And this is when we think he's writing this after Saul finally has quit his pursuit and he's free of that. Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The pains of death surround me and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. But in my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God and he heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before his ears. Amen. Just a couple more. Psalm 51, of course, that we're very familiar with, but let's look there again. Psalm 51, and of course, tied in with David being confronted for his adultery. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is always before me. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And the last one has to do with his son Absalom's rebellion. If you can imagine what David went through when his own son turned against him and all the emotional issues that would well up within him. But back to Psalm 3. And it says, verse 1 says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. And verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Well, maybe you can identify with David. He faced some horrible situations. Yet through it all, he had some incredible mountaintop experiences. But he struggled just like you and I did. He knew that he was not in control of the ups and downs, as I hope we realize we're not in control of those things either. You know, when we're in the valleys and we're just struggling to figure things out, and there's chaos kind of going on, swirling all around us. The thing about chaos and the thing about suffering is there is a blessing there. There's grace from the Lord as well. And here are some things to consider. In our suffering, in our frustration, we still have the freedom to choose, right? We can choose to bless the Lord. We can choose to trust him, or we can choose to lash out at him or seek revenge or whatever, but the Lord has given us freedom to choose. Pain often can kind of warn us of danger, right? You can think back maybe different things that have happened in your life, and you think, boy, I found out about this situation. If I hadn't found out about it, maybe this would have happened. But, you know, there was a red light that came on in the car or whatever it is. There are red lights in life as well. Suffering often reveals what's really going on in our hearts, right, in the way that we react, whether it's, you know, with anger or revenge or bitterness. All that stuff was, in a sense, in your heart already, but the situation that arose that you went through kind of brought it all out. Suffering can take us to the edge of eternity, and what I mean by that is, depending on the suffering, sometimes we realize what's really important about life, and it isn't necessarily my job or the stuff I have or the stuff I don't have. What really is important are eternal things, the truth and love of God, what He has provided, the riches in Christ, and my ability to share the gospel with those around us. Those are things of eternity, and sometimes we lose sight of those things, and it's only in the face of agony that we're reminded, oh yeah, this really doesn't matter that much. What really matters is, and kind of related to that, pain looses our grip on life, doesn't it? Sometimes we can just be holding on to things pretty tightly, and sometimes when our hands are slapped and stuff starts falling out, and we're losing our grip on life. This can be a good thing. We think we've got things in control. We think we have a handle on it. We have a hand on it. But the reality is, I hope we all know, we don't. We absolutely do not. Suffering gives us the opportunity to trust God. An amazing thing that Scripture says is God, in a way, suffers right along with us. And He is the God of all comfort as well. God's comfort is so much greater than any suffering we might go through. In times of suffering, chaos, need, pain, we find one another. Sometimes we realize, you know what? I need help. I have messed things up. I have really done it this time. I don't know what I'm going to do. But we have a brother and sister that comes alongside us and prays with us and says, what can I do? How can I support you? I'll walk with you through this. We'll get through this one way or the other. God will take us through. And so sometimes it isn't, we never would have had that experience with that brother or sister if it were not for this thing that we were facing. And then, you know, like Joseph, you know, God can turn our struggling into a thing of blessing if we allow it. And you think back on, probably in your life, you can think of so many times where God took, you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to go through that again, but God took that, taught you so much, and now has enabled you to minister to people that might go through that. And all the good consequences, all the blessings that can come from bad. We just, I think, need to continually remind ourselves of that. How about you? Do you, when I mentioned mountaintops and valleys, did something come to mind for you? And like in a sentence, don't TMI us, don't give us too much information, but just, do you have a mountaintop experience that happened? You know, in a sentence you could say, hey, praise the Lord, this happened, or oh man, I went through this and it was tough. This is such a minor thing. I hesitate to mention it, but Colleen and I were moving one time from the west side down to Monterey or Seattle, or Monterey or Visalia, somewhere in California, and I had borrowed my father-in-law's truck and his trailer, and I think Colleen was still down in California, and so I had this pretty big trailer, and I'm pulling. I was coming down through the pass, I think, in Northern California, and all of a sudden, as I'm coming down, I have this bang on the back of the truck, and I look back, and the trailer is going all over, and I'm trying to keep that thing, and I finally got it stopped, and I didn't lose the trailer, but the nut had come off the ball, and I was in trouble, and it was like getting into the evening, and I was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, just nowhere. And so I was already unhooked, fully unhooked the trailer, and I went to this, drove a ways, and I pulled into this old rickety mess of a gas station, and there was a guy there, and I had the ball in hand there, and I said, I'm in trouble. Do you have anything like this? And he said, well, I don't know. There's a bucket of bolts and nuts out there in the garage. You can pick through it if you want. And I went out there, and close to the top, there's this one, and it just went right on. I think it would have been, I don't know how I would have got out of that. I mean, eventually I would have, but just those little things, you think, you know, Lord, you're so gracious to me. I mean, that's such a tiny thing. And we all have these stories, don't we? And some of them are pretty tragic. I know some of your lives, and there are some valleys that have been just rip your heart out valleys. Sometimes very difficult things that some of you have went through. And some of you have had some amazing blessings, just some mountaintop experience. The provision of God just blessed you so mightily. But whether either place, I think we can find ourselves, drifting from the Lord or struggling in some way, and allowing these transitions and these ups and downs to pull us away. And I just want to close with a couple of verses today from Hebrews, some familiar verses to you. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And I think whether we're at the mountaintop or in the valley, we just have to keep reminding ourselves, you know, what is true, reminding ourselves of God's truth and His goodness and His sovereignty, and that I'm at the mountaintop because of Him, and that, you know, I'm in this valley, but He can see me through to the other side. And then look at chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12, or chapter 3, verse 12. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 12 of Hebrews. It just says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any way in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another today, daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through this deceitfulness of sin. And so I think particularly, whether mountaintop or valley, you know, we can begin to trust in selves or trust in others, or we can get angry when things are going bad, or there can be a heart of unbelief towards God that begins to smolder within us. And I think we have to be careful. And not only that, but we can become hardened and resistant to God, drifting from God over time. And then this next one is chapter 4, and I'm going to just read verse 2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, because it wasn't mixed with faith in those that heard it. So as we think about, a lot of us know, we know the truth, and people will even tell us, you know, here's the truth of the matter. But we resist truth for a lot of different ways sometimes, because of our pain or our wounds or our frustration. But the Lord says, you know, believe in me, trust in me, mix it with faith, and believe me to be true. And then 5 verse 11 just says, of whom we have much to say, hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Sometimes we can't even hear the truth any longer. We have heard different voices. We've been listening to a different shepherd. We've been listening to our own voice in our head, and we get ourselves to a place where we're dulled to the voice and the truth of God. We can't even hear it anymore, in a sense. So whether you're in your situation at the mountaintop or the valley, maybe you're allowing yourself to drift from the Lord for some reason, or maybe you're getting a heart of unbelief, or maybe you're becoming hardened through sin, or there's just a rebellion welling up within you, or maybe you're becoming dull of hearing. I just want to encourage you today as you go through life and you experience the ups and downs, mountains and valleys, to continue to preach to yourself that God is true, that He still loves you, that He is a God of provision, grace, and mercy, and that He will see you through. We don't know what the days ahead lie, but we know there will be mountaintops and there will be valleys. And so let us make a choice even now that no matter what comes, I will trust in my God. I want to invite you just to bow with me as we close our time here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And as we all think back in our lives, Lord, you were always there, sometimes standing in the shadows, always with open arms, and I thank you and praise you for that. You have never forced yourself upon us, but you have always pursued us. And in the good times and the bad times, Lord, we sometimes drift from you or question you. Forgive us for that. When chaos comes, Lord, bring your comfort, bring your calm, bring your peace, bring your truth. Lord, enable us to trust you despite what may come. And even as I think of that man who lost all his daughters, Lord, sometimes it is so hard, so painful what we go through in this life, and it just tears at us. Lord, I just want to declare to you that with your help, by your Spirit, that I want to always trust in you no matter what might come in my life. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to follow you to the end. And Lord, I just pray that you would enable me to do that, because I know of my own self, I just absolutely cannot. So I trust in you for that as well. Be with us today, Lord, as we go out, and whether we're in a transition or atop of a mountain or down in a valley, Lord, we look to you. Blessed be your name. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath.